Good evening. This is VK2WI. Tonight's news broadcast from Amateur Radio New South Wales originates from the VK2WI facilities at Dural, Sydney, which is staffed by the volunteers of our broadcast team. Transmissions this evening are being made on frequencies between 160 metres and 23 centimetres. The announcer will advise on the transmitter status. In addition, automated relays will carry the broadcast through some regional VHF and UHF repeaters, and we thank the custodians of these systems for making the service available. Now, here are your announcer and engineer with this evening's news.
Good evening and thank you for joining us tonight. This is VK2WI News, live from our studios at Dural in Sydney. I'm your announcer for this evening, Stuart, VK2BMX, and in engineering tonight is John, VK2HB. The weather here is fine and cold, with a temperature around 13.5 degrees Celsius. Rainfall at the VK2WI site over the last week was zero. Our transmitter status is all okay, except 160 metres, our receiver is deaf. So we'll do our best to try and communicate with you on 160, and we'll see how we go. And on the ARNSW RadNet, VK2RAG is currently offline. All other repeaters are operating normally.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. March 2010 marked 100 years of the WIA, the world's oldest amateur radio society. It was started in 1910 as a result of a meeting held in Sydney by a group of experimenters seeking a better deal. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
In the news from Amateur Radio New South Wales for this week, later in this bulletin, we have a summary of on-air activities from both Sydney and across New South Wales. We welcome any updates from clubs and groups. Simply email news at arnsw.org.au. We don't need full items, just the details of the activity and contacts. A reminder from our editorial team. News items are best submitted by close of business Friday to give us time to properly prepare them for air. Items received after that may not make it into that week's bulletin, though we always do our best to fit them in. General inquiries can be directed to the ARNSW office via email to office at arnsw.org.au or by leaving a phone message on 02 9444 0123. Tonight we welcome listeners on the Echolink Ham Conference and the Australian and New Zealand Echolink Network. Callbacks will also be taken after the bulletin. Our thanks to John, VK3HJQ, and the Australian and New Zealand Echolink Network team for making this relay available. This morning at VK2WI, Dural saw the members' morning meetup, with the disposals room open for the first time in months after members catalogued its contents. The barbecue ran from 9:30 a.m. with a sausage sizzle, and the radio experimenters group was to hold its regular session from midday, but due to unforeseen circumstances, didn't proceed. Maybe next time. The VK2RLE VK DMR repeater covering most of the southern Sydney area is now connected to the ARNSW RadNet, giving users extra features on top of the existing IPSC3 VK DMR server. Thanks to Matt, VK2FLY, and Paul, VK2ZSA, for the work getting this connected. More at arnsw.net. New software for digital voice operators. The world of amateur radio software continues to evolve, with more and more digital voice networks becoming available from a single computer or mobile device. A new application currently in beta aims to simplify access to a range of amateur radio digital voice networks from a single program. Regular listeners to VK2WI News will have heard of John, VK3HJQ, who is part of the ANZEL team and a regular callback operator on Echolink for VK2WI news bulletins. John has been testing QSO1, and here's his report.
That's QSO1, written by Frank, KD8JKK. Now, this is the game changer, this one. It's out in beta at the moment. The app runs on Windows and Android. The iOS version's coming, Mac OS and Linux on their way. And this app does, oh boy, stand by for it. All-Star, Echolink, DMR, so that's Brandmeister and TGIF, M17, IAX Direct, and YSF. So for people who couldn't get onto All-Star, here's your chance. No hardware, no soldering, no headaches. Takes 5 minutes to set up. That's QSO1. The website is QSO1.net. This is John VK3HJQ.
Weekly solar and geophysical report. Geomagnetic conditions across the Australian region stayed at the quiet G0 level right through the 14th to the 22nd of July. The only notable moment was a weak 9 nanotesla impulse picked up by the Bureau of Meteorology magnetometer data on the 21st, but it didn't amount to any disturbance. Looking ahead, disturbed periods are possible around the 23rd of July, the 5th and 6th of August, and the 11th of August, and the 19th and 20th of August, with the best quiet stretches expected from the 26th of July through to the 4th of August, and again on the 7th to the 10th, and the 13th to the 17th of August. On the solar side, activity has been sitting at R0, and that's quiet, with no significant flares. Six active regions remain on the disk, including one holding a more complex delta configuration, so there's a little ongoing flare potential. A coronal mass ejection is expected to give Earth a glancing partial impact later this week. Solar flux index update. Here are the updated solar flux index figures for this week. Having finished June, we had a minimum of 111, an average of 139, and a maximum of 203, with peak dates from the 2nd to the 5th and the 25th to the 30th. So far for July, we're expecting a minimum of 100, an average of 133, and a maximum of 203, with peak dates from the 1st to the 5th and the 20th to the 30th. And looking ahead to August, we're expecting a minimum of 105, an average of 116, and a maximum of 130, with peak dates from the 10th to the 25th. Update with thanks to Noel of VK2FUL.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. To submit news for inclusion in these sessions, please email it to news@arnsw.org.au by the end of business on Friday. You can help us with presentation by writing your news item in the third person and limiting it to about one A4 page in an easily read font. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
And now we're up to Foundations of Amateur Radio. This series, written and produced by Ono VK6FLAB, continues a weekly examination of the building blocks of amateur radio.
Have you ever attempted to download an email attachment or watch a streaming service whilst your microwave was cooking lunch or dinner and noticed that something odd was happening? Or is my asking that question the first time that you joined the dots? This phenomenon is not by accident, though it isn't on purpose. In 1947, the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU, was meeting in Atlantic City, where the, quote, delegate of the United States, referring to his request that the frequency 2,450 megacycles per second be allocated for ISM, indicated that there was in existence in the United States and working on this frequency a diathermy machine and an electronic cooker, and that the latter might eventually be installed in transatlantic ships and airplanes. There was, therefore, some point in attempting to reach world agreement on this subject. End quote. Several things to unpack there. It's 1947 and experimentation is happening at 2,450 megacycles per second, what we call megahertz today. You might recognize the frequency as 2.45 gigahertz. At that time, experiments using radio frequencies for medical purposes has been in full swing for decades. Nikola Tesla wrote a paper on the subject that was presented in absentia to the American Electrotherapeutics Association in 1898. In 1947, a diathermy machine exists. Today, it's used to aid with blood flow, muscle and joint pain, as well as inflammatory and degenerative bone disease. There is a working electronic cooker, a microwave oven to you and I. And whilst the one you could buy in 1947, a Raytheon radar range, if you forked over $5,000 or $70,000 in today's money, had space for a 2-meter-tall, 340-kilogram, 3-kilowatt behemoth, you have to admire the imagination that one day this would fit on an aeroplane to travel the world, let alone be available for $100 at your local supermarket. One other thing. ISM, or Industrial, Scientific and Medical, is a concept we still use today. The idea being that there are uses for radio waves that are nothing to do with communication, like microwave ovens, steel smelting through induction heating, surgical uses like cauterizing wounds, some cancer treatments and plenty more. One of the ideas behind ISM is that equipment operating in those frequencies must tolerate any interference generated by ISM applications. The other part of the ISM idea is that it's unlicensed, which is very attractive to people who experiment and why it became popular for other uses beyond heating your lunch. Consider that baby monitors, garage door openers, car security systems, video senders, cordless phones, wireless speakers and microphones, cordless keyboards and mice, radio-controlled models and smart power meters all share the same radio frequencies. Then there's Wi-Fi, Bluetooth and Zigbee, also using the same 2.4 gigahertz ISM band. Yeah, even the two most popular network technologies on your phone and computer, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, are competing with each other and the microwave oven in the kitchen. There are six global ISM bands and six additional ones with specific local requirements. Things like industrial microwave ovens, near-field communications or NFC, and LoRaWAN use frequencies like that. You'll also find satellite communications, radio location, CB radio, radio astronomers, and radio amateurs on those bands. So why are these technologies sharing the same frequencies? Essentially because they're unlicensed spectrum. Just so we're clear, this doesn't mean that it's unregulated spectrum. All it means is that, unlike licensed spectrum, you don't need to buy access to the spectrum to use it. But you do need to have compliant equipment when you do. Compliance depends on local laws, location, band, and power levels. So, next time you need to watch a movie whilst cooking lunch, eat an apple, or go outside and get some daylight onto your skin instead. A quick word on power. Whilst all these uses share the same frequency band, their human impact varies considerably. A Wi-Fi network uses a tenth of a watt. A diathermy machine uses 250 watts and produces a, quote, gentle heat, unquote, at the surface of the skin, suitable for treatment. Contained inside a metal box, a microwave oven uses 1,000 watts or more. Even that doesn't cook food from the inside out. Instead, it vibrates water molecules in the food, which heat up, which in turn cooks the food. It doesn't penetrate very far and doesn't work on frozen water, which is why you need to defrost your food before you can cook it. It's also why, when you stand between your Wi-Fi router and the computer, things slow down, or why your hand position on your phone or tablet can make a difference, since your body, made from 60% water, is blocking the signal. Finally, here's something to consider. A licensed radio amateur has access to some ISM bands, but does it require an amateur license to actually use any of those bands? In other words, if my amateur license doesn't permit my access to 2.4 or 5.8 gigahertz bands, Can I legally use a transmitter in the unlicensed spectrum, that is the ISM band, on those frequencies? If you answered yes and you're considering experimenting on the ISM bands, you'll find the Low Frequency Experimental Radio, or LOFER, MEDFER and HIFER community has already beaten you to it. Within the ISM regulations are provisions for all kinds of other experiments, generally using low power, sometimes a watt, sometimes less. But you already know that my 10 milliwatt beacon on the 10 meter band has been heard 13,945 kilometers away. So there's plenty of opportunities to play. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
For more information about this series, including audio transcripts and other useful amateur radio resources, Ono's website is vk6flab.com, and you can contact Ono by email at cq@vk6flab.com. Now we're up to club news. The Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club. The first monthly meeting for the Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club is Friday the 7th of August, starting at 7:30 p.m. at the clubhouse in Glenbrook. Doors open from 7 p.m. for visitors and members. BMARC held its AGM on Saturday the 4th of July. Most of the outgoing committee were re-elected. New to the committee are Pip VK2SJ as Vice President, and Keith VK2ZVW as an ordinary committee member. BMARC runs its next foundation course on Saturday the 8th of August, with examinations the following day at the clubhouse. Anyone interested in getting their license should contact the secretary, Irene. The club also takes part in the Remembrance Day contest on Saturday the 15th of August, a chance for members and guests to try their hand at contesting. The annual Winterfest Festival is on Sunday the 30th of August, a good chance to sell unwanted items, usually followed by a sausage sizzle. The BMARC Clubhouse is at 4 Moore Street, Glenbrook, next to the Great Western Highway, an 11-minute walk from Glenbrook Railway Station. For more on the club or its events, contact the secretary, Irene, at secretary@bmarc.org. That's secretary@bmarc.org. 73 from James, a VK2GOH, Publicity Officer, Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club. Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club. In news this week for Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club, we have an update from Alan, VK2COD.
Hello everyone. The Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club will hold their next monthly general meeting on Wednesday, 29 July 2026, starting at 7:30 p.m. at the Ingleburn RSL Club. The RSL Club is located at 70 Chester Road, Ingleburn. Once you arrive, join us this week only in the RSL Club's boardroom. We have invited Dennis, VK2DEP, to do a presentation and answer questions on Meshtastic MeshCore. While the meeting starts at 7:30, please arrive early for dinner and a bit of socializing before the meeting. All members, their friends, other club members, and anyone interested in amateur radio is welcome to and encouraged to attend. So make sure you visit our webpage or follow our Facebook page to keep up to date on our activities. Spoken by Alan, VK2COD, Junior Publicity Officer for the Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club.
Now we're up to Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. We had an ID there, but it didn't play. So anyway, Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. The club rooms at Carryong are open Saturdays from 10:30 a.m. Members and visitors are welcome. Next Saturday, the 1st of August, the club holds its annual general meeting following the monthly business meeting at 1 p.m, preceded by a barbecue at 12 noon. Details will be emailed to members. At time of submission, a VK2RAG Summersby is only running a limited number of services. Current status is on the repeaters link on the club website. The club's weekly net is Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on the VK2RAG 2-metre repeater on 146.725 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone and on the Ham Echolink conference. It's also live streamed on the club's Facebook page. Find out more about CCARC at ccarc.org.au or by phone on 02-4340-2500, which normally goes to Message Bank, or on social media, searching Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. Remember to follow the page for updates. 73 from Alan, a VK2MG, Publicity Officer, Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. St George Amateur Radio Society. The Society's next meeting is Wednesday, the 5th of August at Mortdale RSL Club in Macquarie Place, a 5-minute walk from Mortdale Railway Station. The club has good dining facilities, so members are encouraged to arrive early for a bite before the 7:30 p.m. start. Following on from last year's session on digital data over HF radio, Peter VK2BFF explores the world of digital voice codecs, how modern systems pack clear, efficient speech into a small data stream on both VHF, UHF and HF. Later in the month, the Society takes part in the annual Remembrance Day contest, operating a portable HF station in Oatley Park on Saturday the 15th of August. A good chance for newer amateurs to try contesting and portable operations. The Society holds a foundation training and assessment weekend on the 31st of October and the 1st of November at Heathcote. The Society also sponsors the VK2RDX repeaters, 2-metre FM and 70-centimetre VK2 DMR coverage from Mount Bindo in the Western Blue Mountains. For more on the Society's repeaters, contests and other activities, visit sgars.org. That's Wednesday the 5th of August, 7:30 p.m. at the Mortdale RSL Club, 73 VK2 EMU, Publicity Officer, SGARS. Hornsby and District Amateur Radio Club. Haddock's next meeting will be at 8 p.m. this Tuesday the 28th of July. The presentation will be by Chris, VK2YMW. He'll present a collection of photos and background on the use of semiconducting quantum interference devices, or SQUID, in the sub-Arctic region of northern Canada. His involvement came down to a stroke of luck combined with his broad electronics knowledge and the mechanical skills the trial required in Canada's remote deep north. It's at The meeting is at the Mount Kohler Community Centre near the northern end of Pierre Close, opposite the new eastern entrance to Mount Kohler Railway Station. Now fitted with lifts, several buses arrive nearby. The Opal app can help with that. Cycling is an option too. Find Haddock on social media by searching for VK2MA. That's on Blue Sky and Mastodon, as well as Facebook and X. 73 from Julian, VK2YJS, Publicity Officer, Haddock.
This is VK2WI nearing the end of tonight's news bulletin. On the Amateur Radio New South Wales website, you can find details of our services, membership and general information about amateur radio. The address is www.arnsw.org.au. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
I'm Matthew, VK2YAP.
I'm Stuart, VK2BMX.
It's time for your quick trip around the bands with activities on the air.
Daily, Manly Warringah Early Bird Net, 6:30 a.m. on or near 3690 kilohertz lower sideband. If that's too early, the morning net is from 8 a.m. on or near 7189 kilohertz.
On Mondays, there's the West Lakes Amateur Radio Club net at 9:30 a.m. on 40 metres, 7115 kilohertz. Listen for VK2ATZ Portable. The Great Lakes Radio Club net is at 7 p.m. on VK2RGL. That's 147.1 megahertz with a 91.5 hertz tone. And on Echolink, VK2RGL-R. Hunter Radio Group VK2 AWX News is at 7:30 PM on 146.975 MHz and 438.025 MHz. The Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club DMR Net is at 7:30 PM on Brandmeister 50520, hosted by Ben, VK2 AFK. At 8 PM, there's the Lightning Net on 1860 kHz with Net Control Steve, VK2 STG, the Haddock Net on VK2 RNS 147.25 MHz, the Illawarra Amateur Radio Society 2-metre SSB net on 144.15 MHz upper sideband, and the Waverley Amateur Radio Society net on VK2 RBV, that's 438.1125 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone. For other activities online and on air, check the website.
Tuesdays, National VK DMR net starts at 7:30 PM on Talk Group 505. From 8 PM, Blue Mountains ARC net on 3543 kHz. St George Amateur Radio Society Digital Net on 146.8 MHz and the Southern Highlands Radio Group Net on VK2RHR on 146.825 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone. The Illawarra Amateur Radio Society 80 metre net at 8:30 PM on 3666 kHz.
On Wednesday, the West Lakes Amateur Radio Club net is at 9:30 AM on 7115 kHz. There's 2 metre nets throughout the week. See the website for details. At 7:30 PM, the Hunter Radio Group net on 146.975 MHz and Echo Link node 1474, and the Armidale District Amateur Radio Club net on 3633 kHz. At 8 PM, it's the Haddock net on 3608.5 kHz, Illawarra's 6 metre net on VK2 RMP 53.65 MHz with a 123 Hz tone, and the Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club net VK2 RBM 147.05 MHz with a 123 Hz tone.
Thursdays, Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club net at 7:30 PM on VK2 RFG on 438.65 MHz with a minus 7 MHz offset and a 91.5 Hz tone. Also on Echolink, Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club, 7:30 PM on VK2 RPM on 146.7 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone. At 8 PM, there's the St George Amateur Radio Society Weekly Net on VK2 RLE, 146.8 MHz. The Illawarra Amateur Radio Society 10 metre net on 28.466 MHz. And the CCARC Weekly Net on VK2 RAG on 146.725 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone, also on Echolink.
Fridays, it's Morning Tea with Haddock, 9 AM on 7106 kHz. West Lakes at 9:30 AM on 7115 kHz. And then at 8 PM, the Illawarra Amateur Radio Society 70 centimetre net on 439.675 MHz.
Saturdays, West Lakes Stone the Crows net, 6 AM on 3588 kHz. Illawarra Amateur Radio Society net at 9:30 AM on VK2 RMP 146.850 and VK2 RUW on 146.675. Snowy Mountains Amateur Radio Club net 7:30 PM on Southeast Network VK2 RFS 146.75 MHz, VK2 RSE on 147.375. and VK3 RDH on 146.625 and Echolink. Sundays, West Lakes DMR net from 8 AM, usually on Talk Group 3802. Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club from 9 AM on VK2 RPM. Wyson New South Wales nets, 6 PM on Chatswood 2 metre or Currajong 70 centimetre repeater, 6:30 PM on DMR, and 6:45 PM on P25. On HF, check website for details.
Don't forget to get your activities on the air here. Send us through the details of your activity, email us news@arnsw.org.au or leave a message on the office phone 02 944 0123.
Our next news bulletin will be at 10 AM next Sunday morning, including a relay of national news from VK1WIA. That's all from VK2WI News for this week. Your announcer has been Stuart, VK2BMX, and your engineer has been John, VK2HB. Callbacks will be taken shortly. Please call back to the relay station that provided the broadcast to you. On VK2RDX at Mount Binto, Callbacks will be taken with thanks to the St George Amateur Radio Society and on VK2RNC Newcastle. As Paul VK2APA is taking a well-earned break, we do not have confirmation of who is standing by. Here at VK2WI, we will listen for callbacks for those who took the broadcast directly. In the studio, I will start with 20, then 80, 40, 30, and lastly 160. In engineering, John will take callbacks on 10 metres and the VHF and UHF frequencies, and will advise the order. All the best from the broadcast team here at VK2WI. Stay safe and thank you for listening.